Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, it is a Victory Monday, a Mad Dog Monday, and a Reaction Monday, but it is also the eve of the postseason in Major League Baseball. Of course, your Houston Astros are a part of it. And
I'll see you in October.
Thanks, Jim. Rest in peace. I think we'll let you hear about the status of Yordan Alvarez because that's the big news as well from Joe Espada as he did speak on that. We'll let you hear that in just a second. But there is still business to be taken care of before the postseason is completely decided, and that is this doubleheader that's being played in Atlanta today, and this game is nuts. It was 3-0 going into the eighth inning. Atlanta had dominated. And if I'm not certain, fellas, I believe the Mets need to win both of them for them to get in. They're down 3-0. They come into the eighth inning, and they get six runs in the bottom of the or in the top of the eighth inning to take a 6-3 lead. Then the Braves come back in the bottom of the eighth. They score four to take a 7-6 lead. And then Francisco Lindor in the top of the ninth, he hits a two-run homer to give the Mets the lead back 8-7. And now it is 8-7 with one out in the bottom of the ninth as the Mets are trying to hold on repeatedly. This game is insane. They are fighting and battling for it. And I believe it's the Padres. I think they are hoping like hell. All right, hell, blow through your number one starter. Because the Braves were trying to save Chris Sale, who is probably going to win the Cy Young in the National League, trying to save him for game one. But it looks like if this thing holds, they're going to have to use him so they can get in the second game of this doubleheader. Crazy, crazy game going on in Atlanta.
Down to the wire, huh?
Yes.
What a game to be at.
Oh, I bet. Postseason baseball.
That might as well be postseason.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I mean, getting in postseason, that is postseason basically, and it's like smoke a cigarette, like the stress. Like I pace, you know. Obviously, I'm not used to my team being in it a lot, but a few times they have been. It is a pace, damn near smoke a cigarette. And by the way, the Braves just got somebody on, so they can go deep to win this thing.
They can win it.
They're winning.
One swing away.
The tying run is on at first base with one out. So this is a crazy game. They got the guy, the flute guy, that's in the game for the Mets, the closer.
Diaz.
Yeah, Edwin Diaz is in the game, so he's trying to close this thing out. But as far as it goes with the Astros, they will face their former manager who won a championship here, A.J. Hinch, who is has gotten Detroit to the playoffs, and they were dead. They were 10, 11 games behind the wild card in August, and they've been able to make it into the postseason. Here is Joe Espada on the story, and that is Yordan Alvarez, who has not been in since he slid in and sprained his right knee. He said it would be up in the air Friday about his availability to play in the postseason. This is the latest from the manager.
Yeah, so he's about to go and start hitting right now in the cage. And we also want him to go outside and run. So once I get to see those things, I'll give you a little bit more here, probably post-workout.
Ooh. I'm assuming that'll be before the show's out, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully he can go and...
in the lineup, no brace.
Need him to be. And because I don't like... I heard in the loop saying this that you know, I still feel really they still feel really confident even if Yordan's not there. I don't know. In these three game sets where it's just three games and like how vital the first one is, especially with Scrubel going in the first game, you need to have your dude because the panic that sets in after you lose the one, you know, that's a whole different ballgame.
This is Detroit's a really hot baseball team at the moment, playing their best ball when you'd like to play your best ball. Not that you can't play good ball early on. We made that point last night on the post game show for the Texans, but they're really hot of late. In the month of September, I lost track, but they ain't lost but a couple of games, especially if you exclude the last couple here against the White Sox. And they're one of the better pitching teams in Major League Baseball. They're putting up good numbers, whether it's Scooble or the whole group. And I only say all that to say, in those games, one swing of the bat could change something. If you get a classic matchup between Scooble and Fromber, obviously, all of a sudden, one swing of the bat could absolutely change it. And the guy that you would bet on to do that more times than anybody is Yordan. So, yeah, absolutely you need
him. And the pressure of game two, if you lose, and I think for the home team, the pressure's really high. If you lose game one, and you lose game one with Framber, now you feel good about Hunter Brown and the start he gives. But you like in this situation, like the Astros, their expectation for them, as if you've heard, what is it, Tyler, with the banners? Like, yeah, what's the promo running that you
the mentioned? Astros are in October for one reason, man. That's to hang them banners.
That's right, to hang them banners. The Detroit Tigers had no business being here. Baby, they house money right now. They're going to play loosey-goosey. Never really said that before, but they'll be loose.
Came out clean, man. Good job.
They'll be loose out there. So, you know, there is a little bit of pressure, and you want to have your big gun in there if he can go. So, yes, you're confident. Yes, you got guys, absolutely, that can get it done with, obviously, Altuve and Tucker and Bregman and Diaz and what he's done this year down the line, but he changes the entirety of the lineup.
Absolutely agree.
He changes the entirety of the lineup.
And it doesn't matter. And the thing is, it doesn't matter who's on the mound.
No.
Doesn't matter who he's facing. Like he changes. He makes it.
Scooble will have some concerns about how he attacks him, even
absolutely.
If he is left-handed.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that is that's one to watch. And the games tomorrow, I think they're all at the same time, right? 1:00, 1:08, I believe, is that's the game time on ABC. All three games will be at the same time, at least the first two games and the third one if necessary.
1:30.
On ABC, 1:30. 1:30 must have been pregame. I saw it, 1:08. 1:30 is when the games kick off, ABC tomorrow. So these are huge, huge ball games. Obviously, hopefully, Yordan Alvarez is able to be in the lineup. That is our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on your iPhone 16.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Gabe Davis now goes back to ETN. He's pushed to his end zone. ETN in trouble, and he's going to be buried by Neville Hewitt, but they're going to keep him out at the 1, the officials say. In any case, it is over. The Houston Texans come back to beat the Jaguars 24-20. A final drive to remember as Stroud found Dario Gunbowale for the game winner. Defense just had to kill the final 12 seconds, and the Houston Texans go to 3-1, solidifying their lead in the AFC South.
All right, as you heard there, they win there and damn near just take Jacksonville completely out of it as they are 0-4. And then the Texans obviously 3-1 there, and they've got two wins in the division, which is huge. It wasn't the best game, but I mean, quite honestly, just being honest, it's how the kind of the games have looked, how they've played throughout the first four. Clint, and I guess I would ask you this and the people, just how are you feeling after that win? They're 3-1. They've taken control of the division. And with wins over the teams that I think most people thought would finish right behind them. But based on what you're seeing, 24-20, how are you feeling about the Texans?
I don't feel any different than I felt last week. I'm not confident. I feel like my nine-game win season is about on track, about where I think they're the level ball they're playing. I don't feel good about it. Other than the W, other than, you know, C.J. Stroud. Defense locked it up in the fourth quarter. C.J. Stroud obviously put the cape on late and took advantage of a big-time moment against a poor defense. And I love seeing that. The thrill of victory is obviously there. But if we're being completely honest, there's still penalty problems. You still can't run the football. There's still, you know, some explosives that caused you problems there on the defensive side of the football. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't miss two or three throws, that game's completely different. You're two scores down, maybe even three scores down. So, I mean, there's plenty of concern, no doubt about it.
Yeah, text line coming in. The O-line is going to be the death of the Texans in January against a good defense. Listen, man, they fought to get the win, and that's what they needed to do. We heard DeMeco say after the game, however it happens, whoever it is, they have the W. But I heard Figgy saying it felt like a loss is what he said earlier. It's just from what it, to me, it's what your expectations are, right? And I think there are some people whose expectations may be, hey, let's just take another step this year. And if that is your expectations, I think Sunday was a pretty good day for you. Hey, you're taking another step. They won a tough game late. But if your expectations are to be bigger or higher or try to surpass where they were last year and get to an AFC championship game, the expectations of many nationally that they were the second best, third best team in the conference, then you're feeling different today. And you have to look at this and say, I don't know that they're on the level of that. I don't know if the quarterbacks weren't Trevor Lawrence, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams, and Anthony Richardson, and we replaced them with other quarterbacks that are on your schedule, if that would be the same. You have to look at yourself and say, hey, my expectations are for them to get to an AFC championship game. And the way they've played these first four games, how many teams have they played that are playoff level? I think one. And the one they played them, that was the toughest game for the Texans. So I just think it's all about how and what your expectations are about the Texans leading into it.
Yeah, there's definitely the bar is set high. I mean, I don't care who you are. The bar is set high. Even if you're just going to improve on last year, the bar is set high. And quite frankly, the Texans haven't put a product on the field that gives you any reason to believe or have any level of confidence to do that. They got a chance this week. Buffalo's coming to Houston. Even though Buffalo did get drugged last night, they're still a really good football team. There's more times than not they've been really good this season, and the Texans are going to have to bring their A game in order to be on the field with the Bills next week.
Yeah, and if the Texans are healthy and play to their to the best that they can play, I think they can beat the Bills. They can certainly do that. And there's a lot of season left. But like I said, it's dependent on what your expectations are. The crazy thing about the Bills, that was the first time in 43 games that they lost a game by more than 6 points.
Hmm.
In 40, their games. The games have, in 43 straight regular season games, they had been 6-point losses or fewer when they have lost. So they'll come into NRG next week, and I think we'll learn a little bit more about the Houston Texans.
Big 3-3, number 3.
But big win. Sad news coming out of the NBA. Dikembe Mutombo passed away at 58 years old from brain cancer. Man, that's one of those things that I didn't even know. I didn't even know that he was having issues. One of the most iconic symbols, the wagging of the finger.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He even slid in that Geico commercial with the wagging of the fever finger. Really, really a sad time. Remember him, you know, those years with the Denver Nuggets at first, got to the finals with the 76ers and Allen Iverson. I think always people talk about a really, really good guy, spoke, I think, 7 or 8 languages. Really, really sad day in the basketball family. Hall of Famer as well, Dikembe Mutombo passes at the young age of 58.
Yeah, the finger wave, Ron, was and I'm talking about the basketball finger wave I was not a huge NBA fan growing up in terms of sitting down and studying it, watching it all the time. He's one of those guys that you know, just it always stuck out for me, man. Always stuck. Loved watching him play. Obviously did great things after when he got done. Sad to hear, man.
My favorite moment from him is the Western Conference first round playoffs. They were the Denver Nuggets, young team. I don't think an 8 seed at that point had ever beaten a 1 seed. And this was when Sean Kemp and Gary Payton with the Seattle Supersonics, and they won that series. And Mutombo embraces the ball, and he's got them big-ass hands on that ball. And he is crying, and his face, that's one of those iconic memories that – sensed in my head from playoff basketball. Damn, really, really sad that we lost to Dikembe Mutombo.
He transcended, man. I mean, Texans fans will remember, like, J.J. Watt in his prime, whenever he would swat a ball at the line, he would do the Dikembe finger wag, and you hear Dikembe finger wag references in songs and hip-hop songs. I know of several. Very sad day.
Yeah, it is. It is a sad day. Rest easy, my man. All right, coming up, C.J. Stroud. What's your grade for C.J. Stroud in this game? 27 of 40, 345, 2 touchdowns, no picks. What's your grade for C.J. Stroud in this game on Sunday? We'll discuss that. Love to hear your thoughts from that as well as we continue to ride here on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I want to apologize on this Victory Monday. The playoff situation in the National League, wanted to make sure I got this correct. With the Braves losing, the Mets winning, the Mets are in. The Arizona Diamondbacks need the Braves to lose and get swept, because if the Braves lose and get swept, the Arizona Diamondbacks get in, and the Diamondbacks will head to San Diego to play the Padres, and the Mets would then play the who is that in the National League that's left? My mind just escaped me on that one. But the Diamondbacks will get in if the Braves get swept, as things are coming down to it. So the Braves desperately need to get a W in this second game of the doubleheader to get themselves into the postseason. So that is the latest there. Must win for the Braves. If they don't win, the Diamondbacks get in along with the Mets. So I'm sorry. Yeah, the Brewers. The Brewers would play the Diamondbacks, and the Mets would play the Padres. All right. C.J. Stroud this week. We do his grades every week. Last week was probably the lowest we saw from him, and no coincidence, it is the game in which the Texans lose. But they do get a win, 24-20. He has a last-second drive for this team to get a comeback victory. I see on the text line, I give CJ a B plus. Too many times he tried to make something out of nothing. It's awesome when it works, but I don't feel a lot more comfortable with him. But I would feel a lot more comfortable with him getting rid of the ball. Somebody texted in, said B plus to A minus. I think he is holding on the ball too much. A plus, he was the reason we won. You, where do you go? How do you sense what C.J. Stroud did from a grade perspective? 27 of 40, 345, two touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah, look, the last drive of the game gets me into A category. I'm going to go A minus because I do agree. I do agree that C.J.'s holding the football too long. I do believe that there's a more effort being put on, which has been the focus of the Texans offense since training camp. There's definitely an effort and a focus on pushing the ball down the field more, and there were definitely opportunities for him, I think, to get the ball out a little bit quicker and really cover up some of the issues that we're having up front with this offensive line. And I think that mindset has to continue to change and continue to get back closer to what we saw him do last year. So I had him at a good solid B, and then all of a sudden that last drive where he just lights it up is big time. It's the first C.J. Stroud moment that we've had, and he was nails when you needed it the most. Forget about how ugly the game was. You got a guy that when he trots out there, you feel like, at least I do. Again, I'm probably overconfident in him and Bobby Slowick at this point in time. But in that scenario, one score game, last drive, there's no silly stuff, no trying, mixing up all these different personnel, which is pissing me off, but there's none of that. We're going to go out there, we're going to put it in CJ's hands, we're going to get it in Nico's hands, we're going to get it to Dalton Schultz, we're going to get it to Diggs, and we're going to play to win this football game right now. That's what this team's capable of. So that last drive got me into A territory, Ron. I got an A minus.
Yeah, someone coming in really on the holding the ball too long. B minus. Stroud is B minus. Needs to stop holding on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fair thing, and one of the major differences from last year with C.J. Stroud in particular, he's making more big plays. At least with Nico Collins, but he is bypassing some of the easy throws. And one of them, I think, did lead to a sack. I would say, I'm going to say A minus. And for me, the minus is not even really the holding the ball, because, I mean, I get it, but I know he's trying to make a big play. And I'll be honest, I ain't mad at that. For me, where I'm taking points is, dude, it's an epidemic right now with your offense and the penalties and the issues they have. And you're not only the leader of the offense, but you're the leader of the team. And just like D'Amico, it comes on to him and things like that, obviously, as well, and Bobby Slowick as well. But C.J. Stroud is the quarterback out there. He is the guy out there, right? Your team's getting multiple false start penalties at home. Your team is, I mean, that's your offensive line. And we heard D'Amico talk about the mental stuff. You know, I mean, somebody's got to be made to feel uncomfortable around here.
Yep.
And I think as the leader of the team, we've seen some, I'm not saying you've got to be this person, you lead the way, but we've seen, you know, Peyton Manning makes guys feel uncomfortable. Tom Brady will make guys feel uncomfortable. Certain leaders will make guys feel uncomfortable.
Well, and this, Ron, to your point, Aaron Rodgers got up there after that game. Apparently they had five or six false start penalties in that game of the day. He got up there in that game and said that the head coach mentioned that they may need to change up their snap count, and he said, oh, that's one way, or you can hold guys accountable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, talking about making guys uncomfortable. He didn't call him out. Actually, he did say one guy's name that had multiple, but
He let them all know,
it's an accountability issue.
So that to me, the more that this brings up, the leader of the team and defense, like when it's becoming like this, it's killing drives. Like, I mean, even the holds, that's almost one thing. Like, you know, where you're trying to prevent something, mm-hmm. but that's a little different. But these pre-snap penalties are just silly stuff that you're doing to hurt yourself and hurt the team. I got to look at him to some of that. So that's why I come down from an A and an A plus or to an A minus, because his performance on the field didn't turn the ball over in a game where you know, as weird as that game was, if they do turn it over, they lose.
Ooh, yeah, I know.
You know, if they turn it over at some point, they lose. Someone said CJ and A, he did what he needed to do. You guys are spoiled.
Hell, I said an A minus.
I, as a Texans fan, ever been spoiled, friend?
Sir, we all gave A's. I'm in here being as nice as I possibly can.
Don't be a dingo on a victory Monday, madam.
I'm trying to give you a good tone. I'm trying to give you good niceness.
You are nice.
We said A minus, A minus. You said A, same thing. How are we spoiled? Hell, we can't be spoiled. He only been here for about 21 games. Like, Altuve, okay. You're not, yeah, I mean, let's count down here, man. Just give you. All right, let's do this coming up. Our players of the game. There's a few to pick from our Man Eye Institute players of the game. And you can send in your players of the game as well. And we got to check up on Clint because Tyler's Aggies. Tigers Aggies beat Clint's Hogs so bad that they fell back in the poll. When I say they, I mean the Aggies.
Damn it.
The hell that happened?
Well, I mean, at least
you're going to site game in the SEC and you drop to the poll.
If you're going to beat us, at least I hope it bites you in the ass.
That's coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, Tyler, there is some breaking news with the Astros. Let us know what it is.
Yes, this is breaking news coming from Brian McTaggart, who you both know has been covering the Astros since I was freaking in diapers. MLB.com's Brian McTaggart says it is a 50-50 decision whether Yordan Alvarez is going to be on the Astros playoff roster, which has to be in. That decision has to be made by 10 a.m. tomorrow on Tuesday. 50-50 shot.
Wow. 50-50 shot there. If they have him, and like they're not, it's not even saying like maybe he gets game one off and he's a pinch hit, but they're saying like we still need till 10 a.m. or whatever tomorrow, tonight, to figure out if he's going to be able to be able to play in this first wild card round series, which could go three games. So
it's not ideal.
No, that is not. That is not. And Clint, I need you to promise me that tomorrow, if this 50 goes the wrong way, that you won't call him a diva.
Oh, he's a diva.
Come on, man.
If he's taking BP and running on the field and he misses a freaking playoff game, yeah, he's a diva.
Come on.
You know,
I mean, all you gotta do is DH, man. Like this is.
I know it. And if he couldn't just DH, you know.
Look, it's a sprained knee. If there's potential for further damage to be done or something like that, okay, then I understand that. But this is a playoff game. If you can take BP today and run on the field today, you're asking play to, you can DH tomorrow.
If he can't go in this playoff series, like if they can't put him on the roster.
Soft,
me,
hot butters, 2024 soft.
To me, it is Jordan right has brand. Done everything he could to get in there. And he just can't go. We've seen this, Ken. I can't believe it.
He'll be fine. No brace in the starting lineup. Everybody relax.
Again, Tyler, as I said Friday, since we found out about this, it has continued to get worse. With the news that we keep finding out, to now we're at a coin flip that tonight is a big night for him to see if he's going to make it.
And is Espada going to talk after the workout, after the on-field running? Didn't he say he was going to let us know more, or is this him letting us know more?
No, he said, I mean, I'm going to assume that, well.
He may be speaking, he may have leaked it to McTaggart.
You think he may have? It's 50-50? I don't know. Yeah, I guess this may be him. No one more. I don't know. But as Tyler said, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is when they need to know.
Somebody said Derrick Henry had a sprained knee last night, went for 200.
Good for him. Good for him. Maybe there's a different.
I'm joking. Derrick Henry didn't have a sprain.
About to say there may be some different sprained knees out there.
We'll get all these little fun.
But the hope is that he is all right and that he can go and that this is on the right side of 50-50. With that thing. All right, that is the latest with Jordan Alvarez. Let's do our players of the week. 713-572-4610. You can chime in with your player of the week. I'm gonna start with mine on our Man Eye Institute player of the week. And Clint, I think there's a lot of places you can go. There are two players that really stick out, but I like to go with maybe one that's not getting enough credit. And that is Dare Ogunbowale. He is my player of the game. Not only did he catch the winning touchdown, but he made two enormous third down plays in which CJ just checked it down to him and he had to try to make somebody miss or avoid contact to get the first down. And the first one was a 3rd and 8 that eventually led to a touchdown for the Texans, but a 3rd and 8, and he catches the ball, and there are two guys in front of him, and he's 2 or 3 yards short, but he finagles his way between them and gets vertical and gets enough for the first down. And then the second one, Clint, where this is another one of those drives where they were shooting themselves in the foot left and right with penalties, and ultimately it was 3rd and 18, and for some reason, every single person in the middle of the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars to the dead sprint backwards. All four of them for some reason. But CJ checks it down to Dare, and he somehow gets 20-something yards out of this and avoids two tacklers that were right there that would have stopped him. That when he throws it, when he checks it down, you're thinking this is a punt. And no, he got a first down that also led to points. So I thought to me that was huge, two major plays, and he caught the game winning touchdown. So mine goes to Dare Ogunbowale.
That's a great one too, Ron, because just the gesture or the statement that the organization makes when there's no Damian Pierce, really, when there's no Joe Mixon, you know, who do you trust? Who do you believe in? Who do you feel like will know the protections and get out in the route and catch the football and be accountable and do all those things? It's Dare Ogunbowale. And then, to your point, he goes out there and performs. So I like that. I like that one even more than at first glance.
Mine's Dare. Where are you going, Clint?
I'm going to go Nico Collins, man. 12 wow. catches, 151 yards, one touchdown, 12-8 a catch. And it's not just that box score. It's not just, you know, the big number there in terms of the production. But for me, as I mentioned earlier, just the beauty of watching this guy work. The way in which he produces, obviously we know a bunch of it's been off schedule this year in that scramble drill, and that's great. But I'm talking about the on schedule stuff, man. The ability to run great routes, the ability to have strong, dependable hands, the ability to get vertical, get north after catching the football, to be a threat in the screen game as well as the quick game, the mid-range game, the boot game, misdirection game. Ron, I know you really like that call early in the game to get him a touch. The way in which he puts these numbers up, for me, I just appreciate it more than the guy that's running go routes and the guys that just are bigger, faster, stronger. And he is bigger, faster, stronger. But the way it just, it's so much easier to believe in what he's doing and believe that a play caller can call on it. And C.J. Stroud, they can make it happen no matter what the hell the defense throws at them. That's a powerful state to be in as a quarterback wide receiver combo. And so I got to give it to Nico Collins, man. I couldn't let the moment pass by without giving him a little love.
He certainly deserves it. Tyler, real quick, who's your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
Yeah, this week I'll go with the quarterback one in Houston, C.J. Stroud. Always love to see any time he's going to throw for over 300 yards, and they needed every single yard of those 345 against the Jaguars. 345 pass yards, two touchdowns, two times he found the end zone, so I'll go with young C.J.
Especially when you compare it with Trevor Lawrence, who seemed to be just doing everything he could to miss wide open touchdowns. I mean, Brian Thomas and Christian Kirk should have had over 100 yards receiving with multiple touchdowns in that game. But Trevor Lawrence wasn't able to get it to him. But
that's a strange form old Trevor's in, isn't it? I mean, he was a guy that maybe he wasn't going to ever live up to what the expectations were, but he was damn sure a guy that from the pocket on time could deliver the ball accurately. Boy, that seemed he missed chunk plays, he missed your basic out routes, he missed flat routes. I mean, he was off target all day long.
But I thought he would hit the Christian Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those guys have worked well enough together.
There was a lot of space there.
I got an audible mention.
Who's your honorable
mention? Nico did too good for me to go with this guy, Kalen Bullitt. You know, at the time, great play. You expect the defense to at least give up, you know, three, if not a touchdown. You know, running that 58-yard run by Tank Bigsby down. And he runs him down, and then they end up getting a stop. I mean, that play can't go unnoticed, man.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. And the four-yard line, too. I don't know why I thought he was closer, but stopped him at the four-yard. Stopped him at the four-yard line. And obviously they got no points out of that. So big play for him as well. All right. I did want to check on you, Clint. It's Saturday. I thought your Razorbacks, you're right there. At one point I checked, it was 14-7. That's all you had a lead and ultimately Tyler's Aggies come in there and they win 21-17 as Arkansas falls again to the Aggies. How many is that now?
That is 12 of the last 13 years, sir.
Yeah. Been a rough run for my Hogs, man, and Saturday was no different. The one thing is I do a lot.
Competitive.
Well, that is the one positive, Ryan. You are correct. That's what I'm having to say on all my radio hits in Arkansas is the team overall is competitive. They're going to have chances to win games, but until they get some level of consistency starting at the quarterback position, then it's going to be a tough life to live in the SEC. It doesn't matter how athletic you are, man. If you can't throw it on time, if every time you drop back it turns into a scramble and every mistake your offensive line makes gets magnified times 10 because you're holding the football and can't get it out. And everything they've done this year, man, they're 3-2, and everything has depended on the kid that transferred in from Boise State. They paid a bunch of money to him. And his scramble ability has really been the only non-concerning point with this offense, and it bit him again Saturday.
Yeah, tough one, man. Sorry, man.
It was painful. It was painful to watch, man.
Right, well, I had a lot of expectations this year as well. We're now running 1-4.
Oh, did y'all get beat again?
Damn, I didn't realize the Jayhawks were 1-4.
Oh yeah, they find new and different ways in the fourth quarter to lose. This time had the lead with a.
Who did y'all just get beat by?
TCU punt return for a touchdown. Nowhere. Rough going.
Sorry, bub.
Our quarterback has turned into on the field, like on the field. None of the outside stuff. He's like become Deshaun Watson.
You think that money went to his head or what?
I don't know. It's just you know, Deshaun, you look at him, you're like, that's not at all the player that played here.
Yeah, did it yesterday.
That's what I see when I see Jalen Daniels. That's not at all the player that we've seen play. That guy who played Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl, that guy does not
different
exist.
Just
does not exist. And it's crazy. I mean, he can't hit a throw to save his life. I don't know what it is. Bouncing balls in, it's just, I mean, he threw another one. He's got like 8 or 9 picks on the season.
Well, our guy's not throwing a bunch of picks, but he has shown enough missed. And when I say missed, I mean missed. I mean, he's got his receivers average about 6'4". I mean, he has missed at least 5 or 6 throw in the ocean touchdowns. He missed one in the second quarter against the Aggies that would have been a huge play if not a touchdown, and it ends up biting you, man. It's hard to win in that league when you're trying to overcome them kind of mistakes.
Congratulations, Tyler. Way to get a big dub. Way to get a big dub this weekend. He was very confident.
Gig
I don't know how confident he was when he was watching the game, but he
did
was confident
cover?
Going into it. Did they?
I can't remember. No, because I was on it. I got it when it opened up at -4, so it was a push. But I think at game time it was like -5.5, so Aggies lost money, if that helps you.
Yeah.
What you got coming up at the 4?
All right, the Texans, it's a Reaction Monday. Texans OC Bobby Slowick, man, he needs to quit playing silly games. And Tom Brady, he ain't holding back in the booth, and I love it, man. All that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty. It's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.